Grace Hour, the live international talk radio ministry of Greater Grace Church in Baltimore, Maryland. You can join us on the air today by calling 1-800-338-7060 or 410-483-3700 from outside of the United States. Now, here is our host.
Welcome, friends, to this edition of the Grace Hour. Once again, we're broadcasting live right here from our studios, which are located at the home of the Greater Grace World Outreach, right here in beautiful Baltimore, Maryland. Great to be with you, friends, on this Wednesday afternoon, and we're looking forward to today's Grace Hour message, followed up, of course, by our listeners participating in the broadcast and joining us live by phone. All you have to do, get to a phone, dial one of the following numbers, and you can participate, join us live on our Wednesday edition of the Grace Hour. Here are the numbers, 800-338-7060. That is toll free, and you can dial that number anywhere in North America. And if you're outside of North America, then you would have to dial 410-483-3700. But we hope that you'll join us when those phone lines are open. Maybe a question, a comment, a testimony, even a counseling need we would assist you with. And, of course, we love to hear your prayer requests, because when you call in and share whatever needs you have, you're inviting the body of Christ worldwide to join you for those needs as we together corporately come before God's throne of grace and ask Him in your time of need. So don't hesitate. Pick up that phone, dial one of those numbers. Again, the toll-free number in all of North America, 800-338-7060, and the local number, and, of course, everyone who would like to join us outside of North America, you could dial 410-483-3700. I want to take a moment and welcome our local listeners. They're tuning into the Grace Hour on our radio station right here in Baltimore, WRBS. Thank you so much for joining us today. We'll be with you live the first half hour, and if you can find a way to transition over to the internet, you can join us for the full hour-long program at gracehour.org. That's where the folks are tuning into the Grace Hour around the globe. And, of course, many of you are both listening and watching on Facebook Live and YouTube Live, and we appreciate that so very much as well. We do want to quickly remind our listeners in the greater Baltimore area, actually even beyond that, if you'd like to join us tonight for our midweek service. It happens right here at the Greater Grace World Outreach Plaza at 7 p.m. sharp. So come on out and join us for a great time of worship and fellowship, a message from the Word of God. And again, I'm sure you'll be greatly encouraged just by gathering in His name with other believers that are like-minded, like-souled, and enjoy the fellowship of the body of Christ. That's tonight at 7 p.m., and everyone is invited. We're located at 6025 Moravia Park Drive, right here in Baltimore, and our zip code is 21206. Plenty of parking, well-lit parking, crack security staff here. Watch over your automobiles while you're enjoying the fellowship and the church service in our chapel. So, again, all are welcome. 7 p.m., come on out tonight if you're able to. Well, our theme this week in the Grace Hour, friends, is Standing for Truth. Pastor Jason Moore is here to help develop that theme once again.
Thanks, Pastor Love. Great to be with you as always. Our listening audience, those on social media, looking forward to hearing from you. just to kind of shout out here for a minute, like, your involvement enriches the program so much. So I just want to think about, I've been studying this word truth. In the Greek, it's aletheia. It's really the mind of Christ in action. And just thinking in the day and age we live in, there's such a vacillation of truth. I thought today we're in such a recovery orientation where there's so much for someone to recover, and it's good. It's not a bad thing, but the best thing is to live in our authority in truth. Recovery, reconciliation, restoration, these are incredibly important ministries to restore a person back to their original place. But truth, living in truth, walking in truth, absolute truth, that is, it helps us act in our authority as a believer. And it's a kingdom authority. It's the power of God in us. This is why our only authority is the Bible, the truth of the Bible. One writer says that truth is the self-expression of God. It is the reality of God that he has created and defined by him. And I think when you think about absolute truth, the facts that cannot be changed, if we could say, these eternal principles and the eternal reasoning of God. So when a believer opens their Bible and speaks the words of truth, the outcome is that they are meant to set us free. And Satan hates freedom. He hates when a believer walks in his authority and freedom that God himself, in the kingdom nature of who he is the engine behind these words of truth. So we see this here in 2 Corinthians 1:20. It says this beautifully. It says, for all the promises of God in him, and that's those are two big words, in him are yes and amen to the glory of God through us. Now, when you and I stand on the promises or we mix faith with truth, this timeless, absolute, complete truth that is backed by God and God alone, there is a tremendous authority that enters your circumstance. There's a tremendous authority that addresses the supernatural warfare in your life. The supernatural truth of Matthew 4:4 addresses the supernatural resistance and trial that you're walking through. We are defeated each time. But when we are addressing the supernatural with the natural, we lose every time. But the truth of God, it is the absolute nature and expression of God and who he is that defeats the devil every time. So when you look at relativism, we're in a neo-pagan society today, a godless society. And so Matthew, we see this here, Matthew 18, when Pilate says to Jesus, what is truth? It's John 18:38. What is truth? And there's Pilate looking right at the living expression of truth. And it was a rhetorical question after Jesus had shared his heart and he was without indictment, really. And Pilate saying, what is truth? Like he didn't discern who was standing before him. And that's really the question today when you and I present the gospel and share truth. It can be watered down. It can be misunderstood because of there's such a perception of what truth is and what the natural idea or reasoning or fairness defines truth. You know, maybe a good example would be erosion on the beachfront. And I was thinking about that, like it's the undermining of the physical landscape of the sand that eventually eats away underneath the groundwork of that beachhead. And what happens is because of the relentless action of the waves, that becomes eventually the beachfront will crumble or the sand will be so dissipated that it'll create a great cavity. So with the spiritual erosion that we're seeing in our day and age because of the lack of truth or truth in Isaiah 59, amazing chapter, truth is being trampled on by pride. Truth is being trampled on by human reason. Truth is being trampled on based on so many godless ideologies. How do we stop that erosion? Well, this erosion can happen because someone maybe suggests another truth or situational ethics or something that fits them for that certain season, like fitting God into our life rather than us surrendering our life to God. Maybe denial is part of that erosion, or there is some sort of systematic attack in our life that distracts us from really hiding the absolute truth in our heart. Well, one way to, by way of illustration, we're fortifying our hearts. We're fortifying that beachfront by nourishing those areas with supply. So when a beach head is retracted with sand and the erosion happens, what do? Well, they add more sand and they regrade the area. And sometimes they even put up beach walls. They're adding to that area so that the systematic thing that's taking from them is stopped, and then there's an additional supply to fortify the area. This is the same thing as believers. The believer needs that. They cannot survive on 2 hours of doctrine a week. I mean, there will be a systematic erosion. And this is why I think in our present state where there's the effect and symptoms of mental illness that have affected people emotionally and really brought in tremendous confusion, there is the leaving of that fortification of truth and what truth does in a believer's life. So when you read 2 Corinthians 1:20, all the promises of God are in Him, not in me, not in my destination or result, but are in Him, His plan, His eternal purpose, His eternal way, are yes and amen. There's no maybes. There's no gray area. It is an absolute yes. And not only is it a yes, but it's an amen. So be it according to the eternal sovereign will of God. So truth is sovereign in this sense, where it's God's plan, done God's way, for God's purpose. In Ephesians 3, 6 and 7, we see this as well. We see the power of truth working in us. It's the effectual power working in us. And I want to read that real quick, because that helps us understand that the truth is not just a fact, but it's an absolute expression of who God is in time. So there's a kingdom nature and a kingdom authority that is displayed every time we speak truth, we obey truth, we stand on truth, because it's transcendent, it's ontological, it's a self-sustaining entity that is based with an eternal function. So it's amazing. It says, of which I become a minister according to the gift of grace of God given to me by the effectual working of His power. So it's like the face behind the face. It's like the word, the kingdom behind the word. It's our truth brings in the authority and power, and the kingdom overcoming nature that God has really designed every believer to live in. So instead of having a recovery kind of mentality, and I'm not dissing that in any way, except to say we don't have to live a reactive life, but we can live an objective life, a life of proactiveness. In this sense, instead of expecting to fail, we live now in the authority of God never fails. Instead of planning on relapsing, instead we have things in our way that strengthen and fortify the erosion that Satan loves to do systematically, and we say, no, I'm going to live in the authority of God. So where the truth is, there is, in John 8:31-32, that there is, with precise truth, there is precise power. And where the truth is, the truth will make you free. So today, maybe, you know, there are things that are true in your situation, but is it the truth? Somebody might say, they may look at the perception of something and they may focus on one aspect of the situation, and it might be true. But is it the whole truth? Is it God's mind? Is it the self-expression of what God has said? Is it something that resembles God's eternal principles of Psalm 19:7 and Psalm 119:142? Well, I want to close with this in Isaiah 59, because this is an amazing chapter. And I feel like we're living in this chapter right now. And when we think about our world, our nation, our city, our town, and we see the slide, we see the erosion, we see the debacle of really people that are functioning in everything else but truth. They're living in their own way. And what's the answer? Well, the first 12 verses are the effects of when truth is removed. I mean, we're seeing this specifically, verse 7, their feet run to evil. Verse 8, the way of peace is not known to them. Justice is afar off. And 9, they're overtaken. They look for light, but they find darkness. Look at this in verse 10. We grope for the wall like the blind and grope as if we have no eyes. We stumble at noonday, at twilight. We are as dead men in desolate places. We growl like bears, moan sadly like doves. We look for justice, but there is none. For deliverance is far from us. He goes on to say, for our transgressions are multiplied. Our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are always with us. So, that is a situation. I mean, even we look at the words in Ecclesiastes, a life and situation based on without wisdom. But notice what happens here. I mean, Israel here in history, you know, is reflected here, and we could also say it's our day and age today. But there's an answer here in 59 that helps us. But we see that 14, justice is turned back, righteousness stands afar off, and truth is trampled in the streets as though it's disregarded. It is something that is no longer in the central point. Equity cannot enter. So truth falls, and he who departs from evil makes himself a prey. And that's an interesting verse, too. So the people that don't go along with this whole idea of culturalism and you know, just do what everyone else is doing, the herd mentality, if they don't do that, then they become a target and a prey. But look what God says here. He says, then the Lord saw it and it displeased him that there was no justice. And what was the answer? Well, the answer is the man of truth. And that's what we see here in verse 16. He saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. How does someone get a hold of truth? Yes, they read it. Yes, they're part of the body. But yes, they're before God in prayer, and the scriptures now are alive, and they're written in the hearts of man. Therefore, his own arm brought salvation to him. His own righteousness sustained him. He put on the righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head. But he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing. He was clad with the zeal of a cloak. So God is bringing judgment because there was nobody to stand in truth, nobody to speak truth, nobody to walk in truth, nobody to be a demonstration of truth. So I guess that's my last point I want to say, is instead of having a recovery kind of mindset, we can have a mindset of hey, we have authority, not anything in ourselves. We have no authority. Even our experience is a beautiful thing, but our ultimate authority is in the Bible. It's in truth. It's operating in a kingdom principle. And that is what changes this eroding slide of falsehood, of deception, which is the flavor of the day. Just read the first, second, third John. You're going to see that clearly over and over. Let no man deceive you. Do not be deceived. Test every spirit. How do we do this? We must have an absolute truth to stand on, to focus on, and to be in our front view, feeding our soul. Because Satan is relentless. He is patient, and evil is patient. But guess what? No weapon formed against you will prosper. Why? Because truth tears down the stronghold. Truth turns away judgment. Truth raises up the intercessor. Truth is what changes nations that are destructively destroying people's lives through policies, through narratives, all of this. And what does truth say? Truth says Jesus. Truth says absolute kingdom principle. Truth says I'm going to lead you to freedom. I'm going to lead you to authority. I'm going to lead you to overcoming. I'm going to lead you to objectivity. Truth is not subjective. Truth is objective. It is something above us. It's not something that we create. It's something that we abide in. And this is powerful, Isaiah 59. What is the answer? A man or woman that stands in truth, that speaks the truth, that demonstrates the truth, that has a fellowship with truth, that has a relationship with truth. This is why, specifically, I think right now in our nation, it's an amazing opportunity to be preaching, soul winning, planting churches intentionally, aggressively, confidently. Why? Because the truth is where our authority is, and the devil is defeated every time when we walk in God's truth. Amen.
Amen.
I didn't want to stop. I love it.
Well, we're not going to stop. We're going to keep it going. You're listening live to the Grace Hour, friends. Thank you for staying with us. And I want to remind you that now that our devotion is just moments behind us, we're going to open the phone lines and continue along those lines of, again, standing for the truth, standing in the truth. That truth, as we heard, is Jesus. And the results of that truth is you will, and I love that statement that Jesus made, you will be set free. The truth will set you free. So join us at the following numbers, 800-338-7060. Again, that's the toll-free number in all of North America. Right here in Baltimore, you can join us, friends, at 410-483-3700. And outside of North America, you would dial that same number, 410-483-3700. We hope to hear from many of you today. The phone lines are now open, and this is your opportunity to participate. Join us live. Comments, questions, testimonies, your counseling needs, will help you in any way we can. And, of course, your prayer requests. We love to join you in prayer for whatever your needs may be. But fill up those lines, again, as we have a few more minutes left in the first half of our broadcast, and we'll dedicate, of course, the remainder of the program to your phone calls. Tess has written to us from Malmo, Sweden. Says, thanks for the profound message, Pastor Moore. May the Lord uncover us from our own perceptions, but show us to experience His truth. How we have no problem provided for by Your grace, and He will deliver us from evil. What it does so that we won't have to live in its effects. Thank you, Tess. And Brian enjoyed the message. BJ up in, I believe, Pennsylvania, enjoying it, as well as also Brian right here in the Baltimore area. Enjoying. He said, I'm listening and learning. And Gary, who's in our live studio audience, always listening, learning, mixing faith with what he hears. Well, we're looking forward to having you join us. So we do want to mention once again, for those that are listening locally, tonight's our midweek service, and that is at 7 p.m., and we hope you can make it out. And if you need some fellowship in the middle of the week, we've got the place, and we've got the time, and we've got plenty of available seats for you to come in and fill up. So join us tonight if you're able to at 7 p.m. Love to have you as our guest. Let's take our first caller on the Wednesday edition of the Grace Hour. That would be Nelson, who's joining us out in San Diego, California. Nelson, welcome.
How are you doing?
Great. How are you?
All right. I'm going to give you a choice what question you want to answer.
Okay.
Two questions that are in my head is, how much should I really expect from other Christians in their behavior? Primarily, is Christianity just a personal thing? And the other question I have floating around in my head is that, is counseling really necessary? This one real good preacher from St. Petersburg, Clearwater area, not part of your ministry, mm-hmm. but he's a very good preacher, and he said, even this one guy who's a counselor, who's an atheist, said, from his experience, counseling people never really helped them. I mean, maybe I should have chose myself which one I wanted to answer, but, you know, I'll let you.
Well, we'll start with the second, then we'll get back to the first one. I think that counseling has a place, and I think it is and can be helpful, maybe not in every case, but, you know, the founder of our ministry, Pastor Stevens, he was the host of the broadcast for many years, decades actually, he said that the best counseling oftentimes comes from the pulpit, from the message, because if God raises up a gifted and local spokesperson, if you will, a pastor teacher in a local assembly, God can share with him his mind, his counsel, his will, his purpose, and then it becomes the responsibility of that local pastor teacher to pass that on to the congregation. I know myself, my own experience is at those moments, those times in my life when I thought I needed counseling, and then I just regularly, because it was a part of my, you know, daily life and weekly life, I would go to church. Oftentimes, I would get the answers that I needed from God. But I don't want to undermine the whole thought and idea of counseling. I think it can be helpful, and I think it does have a place. But I think primarily God wants to build our souls in the local church and strengthen our faith, and there we're encouraged and we're strengthened to do the work of God in that local area. So, I mean, that's just my thought. Pastor Jason, what are your thoughts?
I hear the music. I have a lot of thoughts.
Nelson, actually, can you hold on? You're going to stay with us? Can you do that?
Yes, I can.
Okay, you hold on. We do have to sign off. And as soon as we start the second half of today's broadcast, I'm going to get back to Pastor Jason, share his thoughts on that second of the two questions that Nelson has asked us, and Nelson's going to hang on and be with us as well. Friends, thanks so much for joining us. We do want to remind you, if you're in the local area tonight, you can come out and be a part of our midweek service. We'd love to have you as our guest, and we can assure you, you'll be encouraged tonight, and you'll enjoy the fellowship, the worship, and the message from the Word of God. Have a great day, friends. If you have to leave, we understand. If you don't have to leave, stay right there. Another half hour coming your way. Back with you live, friends, at gracehour.org, Facebook Live, YouTube Live, and we are talking to Nelson out in San Diego, California, and Pastor Jason going to help to answer that question that he asked.
Yeah, just to compliment what you just said, I love what you said, Pastor Love. I believe counseling is necessary to help you navigate through areas that you're stuck in. Also, really, biblical counseling really addresses how we're thinking. I think oftentimes our thinking can be contrary to the Bible, and we're in our emotions and or discouraged. So sometimes sitting with a third person that is spirit-filled, again, a biblical counselor, addresses the heart of the matter, not just psychology, which is the head of the matter. They're valuable, but I believe a biblical counsel addresses the source. But also a second point is I would also say that counseling should be coupled with the pulpit ministry. Like, I don't counsel people that don't come to church, because what do I have to say? I mean, my pastor teacher is hearing from God and what the Spirit's saying to the church. So I'd say yes, pulpit ministry, absolutely. And I would say temporarily getting through sticky situations or issues of maybe past things that need to be defined, I think a one-on-one counselor is valuable, personally.
It does have a place, for sure. What are your thoughts, Nelson?
Those are good answers. And, you know, being a veteran, I do think of there's 22 veterans that commit suicide every day. Mm. So people have to be careful when they say, like the pastor in the Clearwater, St. Petersburg area, he said, you know, counseling doesn't help. Because, I mean, the person may not even be saved, but if somebody, obviously you're going to lead them to God if you're counseling them. But people who are saved have mental health issues too.
Sure. And I think you just said it. these folks, like you mentioned about the veterans in particular, of course they need some counseling. They need somebody to talk to. Mm-hmm. But change the word counselor and put in their friend, someone who cares for their soul, someone who loves them, someone who wants to help them get over some difficult, maybe some things that have happened in their past. I mean, just to have somebody there for them, I think is helpful, and it can make a big difference in their lives.
Yeah, and just also, I think Nelson, you just said it beautifully. Our purpose is to point you back to God. We don't have a magic wand that we just all of a sudden, boom, everything's different. Some situations are a journey. They're systematic decisions where we apply truth to the situation. I think of marriage issues and just all kinds of maybe addictions that in an agapic relationship, and I love this, one writer says it's an agapic relationship, it reduces shame by 80%. Just having someone there in a judgment-free zone that can love you, point you back to scriptures, and help you think through. Some people, they need to talk out their situation and have like objective ears, because after a while you just get lost in the mire. So a good church is so important, a pulpit ministry so important, and then just someone that can walk with you, not judging you in that sense, but challenging you. Like I was saying this recently, like we can only correct people based on the equity of love, which means through time and care and investment, because of love, that gives you the equity to correct and challenge someone to turn around or to turn their way of thinking around.
So let's go back to that first question you had, Nelson. Why don't you restate that question?
How much do I really expect or hold other Christians accountable? That's a pretty broad question. I'll give examples without being too controversial or getting political. I'm in Reformed circles a lot, Reformed Christian circles, and one thing that really bothers me is a lot of the older ones are very pro-Confederate. They believe that the South was basically right in not so much the slavery part, but that states' rights, you know, the South was being wronged. And then, you know, well, okay, well, you may have a point there, but then they go on saying the 14th Amendment is wrong, and their two favorite heroes, American heroes of all time, are Stonewall Jackson and Robert E. Lee. And they always get that in the sermon once every month while you're listening to them is kind of, it's kind of disappointing. And I'm a person who challenges people and tells people that bothers me. I don't pretend that I didn't hear it. And so, you know, how do we, when we disagree with these things, and we're living a very political, highly charged, but that's something I don't think that should be brought up in sermons, because you know that's going to offend people.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I totally agree with you. The pulpit is for the proclamation of the gospel. And the proclamation of the gospel doesn't highlight deficiencies in some, and then, you know, highlight some very, you know, wonderful aspects or characteristics of another. It you know, the cross levels us all, Nelson, doesn't it? All have sinned, mm-hmm. come short of the glory of God. And all of us are in need of grace. And I think when you hear the kinds of things that you described in a pulpit, not the place for it, not the place for it. The pulpit is sacred, and God wants it set apart for the proclamation of his truth. Just stay away from those political issues, because you're bound to have somebody share a particular political position that's going to offend somebody, and it's unnecessary, it's not needful, and it certainly doesn't edify.
I think that's a very important point. I think many people have left churches because it has gotten too political. I think we vote our values, of course, but in the pulpit, we are educated for God's mind in our cultural trends. But, you know, I've had people say to me, why doesn't the church you know, become more involved politically and with certain trends of, I could give a bunch of examples, but I don't know if I want to. but that's not the heart of the matter. The heart of the matter is my relationship with Christ, how I relate to truth, how I walk in truth. I mean, you mentioned behaviors. I mean, one person said this recently. They said they can't believe how good God is, and they can't also believe how bad people are. I mean, I think as you get older in the faith, this is what you discover, is that we're all a bunch of wretched sinners. But I mean, maybe not Pastor Love. I mean, he's awesome.
I'm the chief of sinners.
Yeah. Okay. But the point is, wow, let's apply truth. Let's walk in truth. Let's have an expectation in truth. And people's behaviors, people are going to offend us every day of the week if we allow them to. Offense is a choice. But if our expectation is in God, then we shouldn't be surprised at people's flesh. And I'm not condoning anything, but accountability, you mentioned that beautiful word, accountability. Like, ultimately, when we stand before God, we're going to see the expression of accountability. But if someone is humble and surrendered to you in discipleship, and they want to develop their walk of faith, then accountability is one of the keys to addressing blind spots and to really reach potential. But who is seeking accountability today? It's the person walking in truth that is. Everyone else wants their own way.
Yeah. Watch out for those.
That's a good point.
Watch out for those expectations, Nelson. You know, having expectations from people just seems to set us up for disappointment. When you have an expectation from God, the psalmist said in Psalm 62, verse 5, "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him." When our expectation's from God, we will never be disappointed.
Yeah, even the best preachers make mistakes. I was thinking Charles Spurgeon is perfect, but this one pastor who loves him just as much as me, he said Charles Spurgeon, he saw when he was studying at the Master's College, the preacher told me this, he said Charles Spurgeon's writing, he did laugh at this guy who wanted to be a preacher because he was disabled. And I mean, that's the way people thought back then. And that was strange to me because Charles Spurgeon's wife ended up being disabled. So I said, that doesn't even sound right. But so people, sometimes they are a product of their times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Spurgeon himself battled great, great depression.
Mm. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
D.L. Moody.
Hey, Nelson, can we just mention something to you? You're in the San Diego area.
Yes.
We have some folks that are going to be out there this weekend. We have a pastor out there. His name is Pastor Tom Chung. He lives in the San Diego area. And we have some pastors and some folks from our ministry here in Baltimore that are going to be in San Diego this weekend. And if you're interested, you can call us off the air and we can give you a phone number for you to reach them.
That would be great. And the last 5 weeks I've had just bad stomach problems, but it's better. It's finally better, and I go to the VA tomorrow. And so I probably will be able to go to church on Sunday, and I would be interested in that.
Okay. What to do is okay. When the program ends, which is 2 p.m. Eastern time, probably what, 5 p.m. your time?
No, it's earlier here.
Okay, that's right. I'm sorry. I got to go backwards. I went forwards. Okay, so just give a call at the end of the program today. Give a call. Ask for either Pastor Jason's extension or my extension, Pastor Love or Pastor Jason Moore, and we can give you that phone number. They're listening out there. They heard you call, and they want you to know that they're going to be out there, and they'd love to meet you.
Okay, that sounds good.
Great.
I'll do that.
Thank you for the call, and thanks for the great questions.
Okay. All right, have a good one.
God bless you. 800-338-7060 is the toll-free number in all of North America. And locally, you can join us at 410-483-3700. And Brian is next on the phone, joining us from the Baltimore area. Brian, thanks for holding, and go right ahead.
Yes, pastors. That was quite a conversation there with Nelson. You all can learn something from that. And just shows you how important it is to be a light in our own generation with the people that we interact with it at work or in society. But I was thinking of the Word of God for me has been very transforming. The truth of the Word is my heart's desire to be conformed to the image of Christ. And thank God that He wrote the Scriptures so that we can go to them and to be transformed, to be corrected, to fall in love with God, and to let the Word dwell richly in our lives so that we can be transformed into His image. And Pastor Jason, you were talking about Isaiah 59. I've been in Isaiah 58, just reading of the fasting there that God speaks about. And the thing that caught my eye there was that God wants us to think about the poor and the needy and the those that have needs to be available. And it's been a very beautiful chapter to be in. And so the truth, as we're talking about this week, of the Word of God, it's wonderful because God made us in His image. And so God is transforming us back into His image through the Word, through the pastor teachers, through the Bible, and through definitely the body of Christ, other believers. Without that, I don't think any of us or myself would survive. So, yeah, and that God wants us to not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from His mouth. So tonight at church, it will be great to sit and listen and to let God fellowship with us, as you've been saying, Pastor, tonight too. So, yeah, that's what I was thinking about, truth and the Word today.
Good thoughts, Brian, and they fit perfectly into our theme this week of standing for truth. So we appreciate the phone call very much.
Very good, pastors. Thank you.
God bless you. We'll see you tonight. And like Brian, friends, you can join us for our midweek service. That happens tonight at 7 p.m. right here at the Greater Grace World Outreach. We're located once again at 6025 Moravia Park Drive right here in Baltimore.
Pastor Love, I just had a quick thought going back to Nelson. So enjoyed that conversation. He brought up Spurgeon. I thought of D.L. Moody, too, amazing hero of the faith. And he had that anger problem. He pushed one of his parishioners down the stairs because he just lost it. And you know, we all could maybe say that we know our kryptonite in one sense. We know our weak areas or those things that lead us into weakness. And how truth is so critical to authority and victory in Christ. And maybe today you're struggling in an area. Do not condemn yourself, but just apply truth. Draw near to truth, like Brian just said. Abide in truth. And it's almost like the principle in Proverbs 30. The conies, they abide in these rocks. They're weak, but they abide in something stronger than themselves, and they're protected. And it's the same principle with truth. As Hebrews 1:3 talks about, we're held together by the word of His power. If I'm not receiving truth, I am going to, instead of talk to myself, I'm going to listen to myself, and we're going to talk ourselves maybe right out of the will of God. But instead, we're talking and speaking to ourselves in truth. The devil's not going to tell us the finished work, for sure, but it's the Bible that tells the devil. You know, he reminds us of our past, and we can tell him about his future. And the truth is the absolute power and authority of God in my situation, not my experience, not my best plan. God anoints men, not plans, even though plans are valuable. But it's the truth that our country desperately needs today, absolutely desperately needs a pulpit that is Christ-centered, biblically-centered. I talked to one new person that came to the church, and this is what they said. They said, in your church, you open the Bible. And I thought to myself, what on earth? I didn't even want to go there. I was like, what on earth? Did you just come from a circus or something like that? It's like the Bible is the center of everything in the church, in the ministry of the church, and to transformation, like you just said. Okay.
I suppose in some cases, I hope not a lot, you can go into certain churches and they don't open the Bible. You know,
that's astounding.
You hear about morality. You hear about
you know, ethical living. You hear about how to better and improve your life. You hear about how to learn how to be a good person. And even, you know, even those that will dress it up with theological language such as you want to learn to live like Jesus. I mean, all of that, that's just all, you know, rehashed human behavior.
Wow.
What we need is the gospel. The gospel is the power of God that results in salvation. And then that same gospel of grace has the power to transform the way we think and live.
Amen.
Well, Joanne said it well. She said, amen, keep the main thing, Jesus Christ finished the work on the cross. Amen to that. Let's go to George next. He's joining us on the phone from the Baltimore area. George, welcome.
Hey, Pastor Love, Pastor Jason. Yeah, really good, really excellent show, you know. I love Nelson's call and Brian's call, you know. And earlier in, you know, in your devotional, Pastor Jason, you happened to mention about how, you know, 2 hours of doctrine a week, you know, if you're only getting that, you know, could lead to a bit of a spiritual erosion, you know. You know, you have to increase the intake of the Word of God. And it put me on thinking how, although Satan is a defeated foe, but we have to remember that he's the literal god of this world. And he's, you know, he comes on like a roaring lion. There's going to be projections, and we have to be ready with that shield of faith. And that only comes from faith comes by hearing, hearing comes by the word of God. Like you said, from the pulpit is the best counsel. And years ago, speaking about counseling too, and I value counseling, but sometimes the problem with counseling is only 10% of the people that hear the counseling will apply it. Most of the time, people want their flesh counseled, you know, and that's not how it works. Once God speaks to your heart, after a counseling session, you get the truth from God, and you know it. You can feel it in your spirit. You just know, wow, that was from God. You have to apply it. If you don't apply it, you know, the counseling session was for naught. Mm. You know, and you know, so that I found the call, and plus politics from the pulpit has no place, you know, it's just like, you know, I felt bad when Nelson was mentioning that, because I know other churches that have done that, you know what I'm saying? And like, it's, there is no place in the pulpit for politics, none whatsoever.
It's always and only divisive when that mm-hmm. happens.
Yes, yes, yes. You know, that's all it's going to do is divide. And it's, you know, and the enemy uses that. He uses politics. He uses this. He uses that. You know, it's like, you know, and yeah. Our shield of faith has to go up from the fiery darts, from the old, you know, old slew foot, you know.
Yeah, well, you're talking about Ephesians, the 6th chapter, George, you know. The whole armor of God has to be put on. And
yeah.
one of those verses, verse 14, it says, have your loins girt about with truth. And, you know, that whole idea of having that belt, if you will, when this epistle was written, you know, men used to wear those free-flowing garments that potentially could trip you up and impede your progress. So they were to gather those garments up and with that belt, you know, secure those garments so that they could walk and press forward freely. This is God's way of saying when you have your loins girt about with the truth, no sloppy thinking.
Mm.
This is no time for sloppy thinking. We are told that we should walk circumspectly in this same epistle, the 5th chapter, understanding the will of God, not as fools, but as wise. So again, this is not a time for sloppy thinking, no loose thinking. We have to be precise in our thinking, and God gives us that precise way to think through his word.
Yeah, precise. I think a precise truth has precise power. I mean, somebody might wake up and say, how did I get to where I'm at today? Well, it's a, you know, we cannot be neutral in these days, and we have to grab a hold of truth and focus on it. I was reading with my son recently in Proverbs chapter 5 today. It's like in chapters 4, you know, we put it around our neck. It's something that is in our front gaze, because you and I may be casual about it, but the devil is absolutely not casual. He is proactive. And I just think that he's afraid of the believer, the weakest believer on their knees. He's afraid of the one that takes the truth as if it's the truth, the absolute truth of God. And just encourage our hearts today that, you know, if you're struggling with something, study God's mind on it, and that will show you the truth. I mean, it's what does God say about this and that and the other? And with that, the effect that when you take in the truth, Psalm 51:8, it will start to work inside of you as an engine, and it's the yes and amen of his promise, and that will control the emotions, that will control the will, that will guard the heart, 4:23 of Proverbs. It's the truth, truth, truth. Without it, we are a casualty every time.
Well, to borrow a statement that you made, George, and I like this, increase the intake, right? I mean, from just my own personal experience, I don't think I can manage life if I hear the word once a week, if I go to church on a Sunday morning. Now, don't misunderstand me. If you go to church Sunday morning, that's great. But I'm telling you, this is my personal perspective, and that is I need more of the word. I've got to increase my intake, whether I do it on a personal level or I do it corporately, gathering together with the body of Christ. I think the corporate way is much better because it involves accountability as well. If you want to leave me to myself, I'm not so sure how accountable I will find myself. But if you make me accountable to others within the context of the body of Christ, that's going to be beneficial. So I like what you said, George. Increase the intake, you know, bring it to the next level because it can make all the difference in your life.
Amen. That's beautiful. Thank you, Pastor Love. That's beautiful, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, George.
Just real quick to George, I love how you pastor your neighborhood. I love it. I love your emails. You're a man of truth. Keep going.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You and Diane. It's awesome.
Thank you. Love you much. Thank you.
Thank you, George.
Thank you.
We still have a few minutes left. If you want to join us at 410-483-3700, pick up that phone right away and dial that number. Let's go to Pennsylvania, our brother in the Lord, Pastor Duke Horton, with a comment. Pastor Duke, welcome.
Hi, Pastor Love. Hi, Pastor Jason. Another just a great program again. Hey, I was thinking, by the way, George, I want to just say, George, one of the things that I think of when I think of our brother George is the word loyalty. Not only spiritually, but he's just loyal. Like he's been a Giants fan all these years. He's a loyal man, man of God.
Yeah, he suffered a lot doing that, too.
So have you, Pastor Love, with the Knicks. You're loyal.
All right, let's not go there.
Anyway, we're not
going to get... No politics and no sports, no.
We're not going to get basketball-oriented.
That's right.
Hey, I just wanted to say, you know, when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, right? Mm. And then he said, if any man comes unto me, he will be set free, and he'll know the truth. And then he said, if you come to me, what will you find? Rest. So really... the biblical truth always magnifies who Christ is and what he's done, and then it produces faith rest in us because we're free from sin, from guilt, and then when we walk in the spirit of truth, we're conquering the old man and all those old lines of thinking, right? So one thing that we can be assured of is that when we teach the Bible and we stick to categorical doctrine, everything that's out there will be addressed if we just teach the whole counsel of God. We don't have to get on any kind of bandwagon. We just teach the Word of God, and the Word of God will do the effectual work. Amen?
Yeah, that is so true. And to receive it for what it is, which is the Word of God, you know, Paul commended the Thessalonians, when he wrote to them and said that they were to be commended because when they received the word, they didn't receive it as the word of men, but they received it as it was in the truth, the word of God. That alone has the power to transform us and change us.
Yeah.
Amen.
I think we're in an age where receptivity is really a challenge. I mean, you can have the truth, and people are not able to receive it because of where they are in maturity-wise or capacity. And so therefore, you know, as you're saying, it's like we're loving them with the truth, demonstrating them in the truth, but also speaking the truth in love. So important. And it's the truth that sets us free. I love that. John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It's like pretty clear.
Yeah. And
amen.
Thanks, Pastor Duke.
Thank you. Love you guys.
God bless you. And Elizabeth has written, says she wanted to add something. Yes, increase the intake, more intake of the word, but the word has to be rightly divided. I know someone who listens to a lot of messages every day, but those messages are not, the messages are not truth, according to the truth spiritually. So that's a good point, right? 2 Timothy 2:15. The preacher, the pastor teacher, the local church has the responsibility to study, show himself approved, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That word means cut it straight, or if you will, get it straight, get it right.
Yeah.
If you don't get it right, you can do a lot of preaching, you can be in the pulpit a lot, but if you're not communicating that finished work doctrine, it can be dangerous.
Yeah,
and
truth.
Harmful.
Truth convicts, the right absolute truth convicts. It never condemns. It brings people to a great big Christ. It's Jesus plus nothing. It's the literal word of the Bible that we read. It's something that always leads us back to a finished work reality.
Yeah, just as Pastor Duke said, you preach the truth, it results in freedom and produces rest in people's souls. Well, we're out of time. I think it's Pastor Steve. We just didn't have the opportunity to take your call. So please do this, Steve. Give us a call on tomorrow's Grace Hour broadcast, the Thursday edition of the Grace Hour. We'll make sure that you get the priority status when you call tomorrow. Thank you so much for joining us today, friends. We really appreciate it, and we will continue to develop this theme. Coming up tomorrow on the Thursday edition of the Grace Hour, every Thursday, of course, if you've been listening for some time now, you know that we play one of Pastor Stephen's messages. Tomorrow's message is entitled, Our Foundation is God's Standard. And that's going to, again, increase our understanding of this whole theme this week of standing for the truth. Thanks for joining us. God bless you. Until tomorrow at the same time. We hope you'll be back then.
Listening to The Grace Hour. Our live program airs weekdays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Grace Hour is a ministry of the Greater Grace Church. You are invited to visit Greater Grace at 6025 Moravia Park Drive, Baltimore, Maryland, 21206. For more information, go to gracehour.org or call 1-800-338-7060.